Well, this has been a fun series, and we're wrapping it up today. It's called Mind. We've been talking about the difference between ownership and stewardship when it comes to everything in our lives, but especially when it comes to our stuff, our possessions, our finances, and even our money. And on week one, when we kicked this off, we actually handed out money. If you're here at church, you got some money, and we asked you to invest it, to be a steward of the money we gave you and invest it in something in God's kingdom. And then we asked you to write a postcard back to us, and we've got some great stories from that. And so read some of those out in the foyer. And if you haven't written a postcard yet, it's not too late. Write it and tell us what you did and send it back to us. And then the last couple weeks, we've just taken a high-level view of what stewardship is and what we feel like that looks like and how that's different from ownership. And we said this week we wanted to get really, really practical about that. But some of you might be asking at this point, why are we spending so much time talking about money? Especially in church where we're already a little skeptical. And if you're new here and this is all you've heard us talk about, we've probably already fueled some of your suspicions about churches and organized religion and all those kind of things. But the reason we've spent 4 weeks talking about this is pretty simple. It's because the Bible talks about it a lot, because Jesus talked about it a whole lot. In fact, some people say that he talked about money and wealth and our possessions more than any other subject that he taught on, certainly more than heaven and hell or anything like that. He talked about our money. In fact, I want to read you one passage. He made it really clear why this is important one day in the Sermon on the Mount. This comes from Matthew chapter 6. This is what it says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he's teaching this huge group of people, and he basically says, don't focus on eternal things, or don't focus on temporary things, focus on eternal things. Don't focus on the things that aren't going to last, especially when it comes to your money. Like, don't put those into things that aren't going to last. Put it into things that are going to last. And then he says, you know, if you really want to know where someone's heart is, if you want to know where their focus is, if you want to know where their attention is, just look at their treasure. Look at what they do with their treasure. Just look at their checkbook. Look at their credit card statement. Look at their wallet. Look at how they spend their money, and that'll tell you where someone's heart is. Now, that's one of the reasons why we've spent a few weeks talking about this. And our goal with this, and I don't think Jesus' goal is to convict us and make us feel guilty and bad about our money and all those kind of things. I think it's a heart issue. I think ultimately he's just saying this is such a heart issue that this is something that we're going to have to talk about over and over and over, because the truth is, where we put our treasure, what we do with our money, says a lot about where our heart is. Now, we're going to come back to the Sermon on the Mount in just a little bit and read a few more of Jesus' words, but I want to get really practical and start off by asking this question: where do we spend most of our money? What do we do with our money? And I want to suggest there are five ways that we all commonly use our money. Now, you could put this in other categories, but just look at these with me. These are five ways, typical ways that we use our money. We can spend it on ourselves, right? We can pay off or pay down or repay debts. We can pay our taxes. We can save it or invest it, or we can give it away. Five basic things that we do with our money. Now, I also want to suggest that for most of us, this is the order that we spend and use our money in as well. You see, I think for most of us, we start by spending on ourselves. We spend it on the things that we want, the things we need. We buy things for ourselves that we want or that we need for our lifestyle. And then if we've got some left over, we'll pay off debts that we have. And then, you know, you could put the taxes thing in there anywhere. I mean, some of us, that gets taken out of our paycheck. Some of us pay it at the end of the year. There's different places we pay it, but hopefully most of us pay that at some sort. And then, or some time. And then, if we've got anything left over at that point, we might save or invest a little bit. And then, if we've still got something left over at that point, we might give some of it away. But the truth is, most of us use our money in this order. And this is actually ownership thinking. This is thinking that everything I've got is mine, and it's basically for me. And so I'm going to start with me. I'm going to start with my needs, my wants, my desires, my comforts, and I'm going to spend my money on those things. And if I've got anything left over, then I might pay off some debts. And if I've got anything left over after that, I might, you know, invest it or save some or put some away. And then I might be able to give some at the end. And I'll actually feel really good if I've still got a little bit left over that I can give to somebody else or to the church or to charity or to God in some form or fashion. But the truth is, most of us aren't very good at self-control. And we're not very good at discipline. And so usually we blow through all of our money spending it on ourselves. And rather than paying down debt, we accumulate more debt, right? And we rarely get to the point where we can save, and we rarely are able to give anything away. Now, you know what this is like? This is like something that happens at my house every once in a while. My wife, Janice, is a great cook. She loves to bake and cook. We used to get all kinds of magazines, Cooking Light magazines and Cooking Great magazines and all kinds of things. And now she goes on blogs and Pinterest and all those kind of things, and we've got cookbooks. And so anytime we have guests that come over for dinner, she'll get excited because it's another opportunity to cook something. And so she'll either go back to an old favorite, something that we like and that we know works and is really good, or she'll use the opportunity to find something new, and she'll dig out the old magazines or the cookbooks or Pinterest or whatever it is, and she'll come up with some new recipe. She'll run it by me. I'll give it the thumbs up, and then she'll go to the store. She'll get the ingredients. She'll come home, and then she'll spend an hour, maybe 2 or 3 hours preparing everything, getting it ready so that when the guests arrive, she just loves to be the hostess and prepare a great meal for people. And then they show up and we have a great and amazing dinner. And then she's usually made dessert as well. And so we'll move on to that. And usually we'll eat all of the dinner and maybe make our way towards dessert. But sometimes we might save a little bit of room for dessert. So you leave a little bit of dinner. And you know how what happens. When the guests leave and you're cleaning up that night, you get to the bottom of the pan and there's like a couple of bites left from the main dinner. And what do with those couple of bites? You scrape it out, you pull out one of these, you pop it in the fridge, and you save it for tomorrow. Because now you've got leftovers. Now, I'm going to confess something. I'm not crazy about leftovers. I'm going to be honest about that. I'm not a big leftovers person. Some of you, when you see leftovers, are like my wife, you see an opportunity to not have to cook or make anything again. When I see leftovers, I see food that's cold that should be hot. Food that's old that should be fresh. Food that's like gooey and jelly and all kinds of, there's like water on the top of the thing now, and it's just like, ugh. So, Janice will pull it out, and I'll say, like, I just don't want to see it. Like, can you just put it on a plate before I see it and heat it up and make it look like it's fresh or something? Because there's just something about that non-fresh thing that I'm not crazy about. Now, here's the truth. I know there are some benefits to leftovers, right? You don't have to cook the next day. It's a little bit easier. And there's some people that will actually swear that some foods taste better the second day. I know that. But let's be honest, I don't think I've ever invited guests over and served them leftovers. I mean, maybe family, because you don't really care about them. But I don't think we've ever invited guests over, and when they walk in, you just stay on the couch, you don't even get up, and you're like, hey, fridge is over there, just pop something, it might be from last week, microwave, pop it in, you're good to go. That's dinner. Like, I've never done that. You've probably never done that. I don't know anyone that's ever done that. Because the truth is, when you have guests over, you make something really good for them, and you save the leftovers for yourself. But when it comes to the way we spend our money, it's almost like we prepare this huge meal for ourselves. And we go to the store, and we buy the stuff we want, and we buy the stuff we need, and we make this huge gourmet meal for ourselves. And then we eat as much as we can, and there might be a few bites, a few scrapes, a few scraps left in the pan, and we'll scrape it up and stick it in the fridge, and then we'll go to God and say, hey, God, I got a little bit left over. Here you go. It's like we give God our leftovers. It's like we spend on ourselves first. We make ourselves the first priority. And then we usually don't have anything left over. If we have anything left over, we give it to God and we say, here you go. It's not much. And we'll even apologize to God. Like, I wish I could give more. I wish I could do more. I wish I had more ability to do something, but sorry, just got a couple of bites left this month. And so that's all I've got. Now, I think that's what we end up doing with God. I think we give God the leftovers because we're still thinking like owners and not like stewards when it comes to how we spend our money. But Jesus showed up, and I think Jesus said, I want to give you a brand new way of looking at this. I want to give you a new perspective. Now, in this Sermon on the Mount, he starts talking about our money. And he begins to say, hey, if you really want to know where someone's heart is, just look at where they spend their money. And then after that, he says that there's you can only serve God or money in your life, and you can't serve both. And if you want to really know who someone serves, you just look at the way they spend their money, and I'll tell you whether they spend God or themselves first. And then he starts saying, and here's the deal, you guys worry all the time about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to have tomorrow, all these things that you're so concerned about. You're really just concerned about yourselves and your needs and your wants and your desires and your comforts. And that's the thing that you're worried so much about. And you need to stop worrying about yourself all of the time. And it's almost like Jesus says, maybe there's a better way. Maybe it's not all about spending and worrying about your needs and yourself first. Maybe there's a better way. And then look at what he says. We're just going to read one verse from Matthew 6. This is still from the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 33, he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things that you keep worrying about will be given to you as well. In other words, you're so focused on taking care of yourself first and meeting your needs first and spending everything you get on yourself first. But what if you started seeking God's kingdom first? And remember, he talks about this in the context of talking about money. What if you started resourcing and funding God's kingdom first before you resource and fund yourself and your needs and your wants first? What if you made that your top priority? If you do that, Jesus says, then guess what? God will take care of everything else. God will make sure all of your needs are. God will make sure you now have plenty of leftovers to take care of everything you need. Now, remember the order that we put up? Let's put that back up there again. The order of ways that we typically use our money. See, we spend it on ourselves, our debt, taxes, invest, and maybe we give last. I think here's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, let's flip that upside down. If you seek God first, what if you made him the top priority in your life? And what if you made him the top priority in the way that you use your money? He says, let me give you a new perspective. This is the new perspective I think he gives us if we flip things around. It's first, what if we give first? What if that's the very first thing we do by saying to God, God, guess what? I'm going to treat you like the guest. I'm going to give you the best. And then if there's anything left over, I'll live off of that. But I'm not going to give you the leftovers anymore. And I think God looks at us when we have that kind of attitude and that perspective. He says, oh, I'm a good and heavenly Father. I will always take care of you. And if you give me that, don't you worry. I will always make sure that your needs are met and that you're taken care of. And so what if you just made a really simple decision today and said, okay, I'm going to flip things around and I'm going to give first. I'm going to make it a priority in my life to give first. Now, how do I do that? If I want to do that, maybe you've never done that. How do I even do that? Like, how do I give to God? Does that give to the church? Does that mean give to charity? Give to people? Do you just put money on your doorstep and God comes by and take, like, how do you give to God first? And how much do you give? I mean, if we're supposed to do that first, how much do we do that? Well, let me answer that. I think the Bible, it doesn't give a simple, clear-cut answer. It's never like Jesus says, well, let me give you five rules on how to give. But But I think there are a couple of things we can learn from the Bible on how much should we actually give. First, you give what you've decided in your heart. Paul says this one time. He's taking up a collection for the poor in Jerusalem. He's traveling around to all of these churches in Macedonia and Corinth and Greece and all these places in Europe. And there's been a famine in Jerusalem, and so he's taking up a collection for people there. And he comes to the people of Corinth, and he says, hey, I want you to give to this collection, but here's how much you should give. Just give whatever each of you have decided in your heart to give. Meaning there is no right answer. We might all give different amounts. You just give what you've decided to give. But the important thing is you've decided to give something. You intentionally sit down and decide, I'm going to give to something outside of myself. So you give what you decided to give. But the second answer to this question, I think, is you give as much as you can. You just give as much as you can. Because Paul then goes on to say, because the more you give and the more you bless what God is doing, the more he's going to bless you. The more you give, the more he'll give back to you. And it's not in one of those weird, shady TV preacher kind of things, you know. Sow a seed of $10 to my thing and send it straight to me, and God's going to do a miracle and give you $1,000 back. Like, it's not about that. I think it's about Paul saying, you know what? God is really, really generous to you. And the more generous you are to other people, the more you're going to experience his generosity in your life. So give as much as you can. Jesus one day, he answered the question this way, because he saw these rich guys coming by and they were paying the temple amount. So they were giving money to the temple, and they were wealthy. And so they're putting a lot of money basically in the offering basket, you know, like we do. They were putting a lot of money in there. And then there's this widow walks by, clearly does not have much money at all. And she drops basically the equivalent of 2 pennies in the basket, 2 little coins worth practically nothing. And Jesus stops and he looks at her and he says, she gave way more than they did. I mean, in absolute numbers, yeah, maybe they gave a whole lot. But you know what? She gave way more because she gave all she could. She gave out of everything she had. She had a different perspective. She saw that everything she had was from God. And so she gave as much as she could. That's the kind of generosity I'm looking for. And that's the kind of generosity that God has towards us. And the more that we're generous towards him, first and foremost, the more we'll experience and understand and know and accept his generosity towards us. So you make an intentional decision to give, and then you just give as much as you can. Now, let me put a plug in here real quickly for something called tithing. Now, maybe that's an old word and you grew up in church and you understand that and know what that's all about. Maybe that's a brand new word and you don't understand it. But I want to explain tithing real quickly because this is important. Because for me, I need something that pushes me to give regularly. Like I need discipline. I need a pattern. I need a habit. I need something, because if it's just left up to me to give whenever you feel like giving, I might not give that much. And so that's what tithing is. Now I want you to write down 3 important words, whether you do this or whether you've never done this, whether you've been to church all your life or you've never been to church. I really want you to write down 3 words real quick. Tithing is priority giving, percentage giving, and progressive giving. It's priority giving, percentage giving, and progressive giving. So what tithing means, it's this biblical sounding word that basically just means that you set aside a percentage of your income, your salary, whatever you make, you set aside a percentage of that and you make it a priority to give that first and foremost. Meaning you take it off of the top. You give it before you do anything else. So when your paycheck comes in that month, the first thing you do is you write a check to God in some form or fashion. And you give him that percentage of your income right off the top, before you pay your taxes, before you pay down debt, before you pay your bills, before you invest, before you save, before you spend on yourself. You make it a priority to give him a percentage first and foremost. And it's really easy to do this a lot of ways, because if you give that to the church, it's easy because you can set up regular giving. If you do it with charities, there's a lot of charities now that set up ways that it can take it straight out of your paycheck or make it regular giving. There's lots of ways to actually do this, practically speaking, but it all comes down to making it a priority and just taking a percentage and giving it to God. Now, what's the percentage? Well, there are a few places in the Bible that suggest that 10% is a good place to start. It's not a rule. It's not like this is what's mandated or anything like that. It's a good place to start. And some of you might think, whoa, 10% of everything I make, like that's my margin. Like that's like weekend money, you know, that's like the whatever. Like, I mean, but think about it from a totally different perspective. Think about it this way. What if God says, here's 10 bucks and you can keep 9 of them? Like, here's $10 I'm going to give you and you can keep 9 of them. I just want you to give one back to me to fund and resource the things that I'm passionate about. And you can keep 9 of them to use for you in your life. I mean, that's a pretty amazing deal when you think about it that way. If God gives us 10 and says, I just want you to give one back and you can keep 9, because God could have set it up very differently, right? He could have come into the relationship and said, hey, this is going to be a 50-50 thing. Like, we're both going to pull our weight, so I'm going to give you all this, and I want you to always give 50% back to me. Or he could have said, this is going to be a 90-10 thing, and so you get to keep $1 every month, and I want you to give 9 back to me to fund and resource what I'm excited and passionate about. But he doesn't. It's like he's saying, you know what? You can do all of this. I just want you to give $1 back to me. Every single week or every single month or every single year. And how generous of God to give us so much and ask so little back from us. You see, I think this shows God's generosity towards us, and it beckons us to be generous towards him. That's why I think for a lot of Christians, 10% is just a place to start. You go way beyond that. I know people, and that's the progressive part. You bump it up as God gives you the capability and ability to do so. So that when God blesses you and you make more money, you don't start buying more stuff. You don't increase your lifestyle. It's when God blesses you and gives you more, you've got more ability now and more opportunities to be a part of what he's a part of. And I know people that do that. I know some people that give 20, 30, 50% of their income away because God has continually blessed them and they make money, more money throughout their lives. And as they make more money every single year, they bump it up and they give more and more back because they don't need to increase their standard of living. They don't need more stuff. None of us probably need more stuff in our lives. And so as God blesses us more, we now have more ability to be a part of what he's doing around the world. So consider, if you've never tithed, getting on board and starting to do that. And you can tithe anywhere you want. We do believe that being a part of what's happening in the local church is important. We think this is the main arena where God is living out his kingdom purposes. So we do encourage people to tithe a percentage of their income to the church. But we also say, tithe it towards other charities or other things. That's up to you to do that. But get in and get involved in doing that now. So, the new perspective is give first. But second, second thing you do is save. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of these. But it's important to save. The whole book of Proverbs talks a lot about saving and managing your wealth. And so that's important and being wise. The third thing that you do is you pay your taxes. I mean, we should all pay our taxes, right? Because we're good citizens and it's the law and this is being recorded. So pay your taxes. The fourth thing we do is we pay off our debt. We pay down our debt. And that's not just your bills, but you pay down your high interest debt especially. And there's all kinds of strategies for doing this. We do a crown class that can help you figure these things out. And this is huge. Let me just say something about this for a second. This is huge. And you might be thinking, well, no. This is my debt is my problem and it's my money and it's my business and I'll take care of it. And I would say, well, it's God's money. See, it's ownership thinking. We need to be stewards. When you see it, it's God's money and we need to manage it well. I mean, think about this. We said this a couple weeks ago. The average household in America, that means all of us in here, have $7,000 in credit card debt right now. Now, some of you are looking around and being like, they have $7,000 in credit card debt? Oh, my goodness. And others of you are probably going, man, I wish I only had $7,000 in credit card debt. But truth is, that's the average. And the average is also that each of us pays about $1,000 a year in interest and fees on our credit card debt. $1,000 a year on interest and fees. We're not even getting anything back for it. Now think about this for a second. What if we all changed that? What if between everybody that's in this service and that was at our service this morning, what if all of us, all 100 or 120 or however many of us, got rid of our high interest credit card debt? We would have $100,000 this year that we normally are spending just towards interest that we could do so much with. I mean, we could support two or three full-time missionaries down in Guatemala. We could send every kid in San Pablo La Laguna to school in Guatemala. We could tell the MOPS gang, you don't have to do your garage and yard sales anymore to raise money to pay for childcare when you meet. We just all got out of debt and we've got $100,000 now and we can do all kinds. We can all open up a coffee shop here at the church and invite people from the neighborhood. I mean, think of all of the things that we could do. Over the next 8 or 10 years, that would be $1 million just in our little community of faith that we could invest in what God is doing. That's why this is so important. We've got to start thinking like stewards. So we give, we save, we pay our taxes, we pay down debt. And then the last thing, you spend it on yourself. Now you might be thinking, well, is there anything left at that point after I do all those other things? Well, you know what? God will make sure there is. God is the master at making sure we've got plenty of leftovers to live off on. If we put him first and we seek him and his kingdom and his righteousness first. I want to read two more verses before we wrap up tonight. I love the way Paul drives this home in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is right after he's taking up this collection that I was mentioning before. Look at what he says. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. There's where he says that. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. So this isn't about guilt tonight. You just need to know that. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You put God first. And you give to his kingdom and to his purposes. And you give as much as you can. And you give what you've decided in your heart, and you do it joyfully, not because you feel guilty or like there's some burden on you, but you just do it because you want to be a part of what God's doing, and you seek him first. Then he says, God will take care of you in all things, at all times. He'll make sure you are taken care of. And so the question that I want to close with is this: do you believe that? I mean, do I believe that? Do we really believe that if we seek God first in all areas of our life, but especially this one area that so many of us tend to hold back more than anything else, do we really believe that if we seek him first, that he'll take care of us? Because it's an issue of trust, really. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to embrace this perspective and put God to the test for the next 4 months. Don't try it for just a week. Don't try it for just 2 or 3 weeks. But for the next 4 months, adopt this perspective and say, okay, I'm going to go home tonight. And if you're married, I'm going to talk to my spouse. And if you're not, you talk to your roommate or whoever. And we're going to talk about what I've been doing with my money and how I can start having a different perspective. And I'm going to start giving. And I'll start tithing. And I'll figure out a percentage. And if I can get a lot, I'll give a lot. If 10% freaks me out right now, then I'll start lower and I'll work my way towards that, whatever it is. And I'm going to go online and I'm going to set it up and I'm just going to make it happen. And if I need to get out of debt, I'll talk to somebody. And we have people here at New Denver Church who are financial consultants who have said, if anyone ever needs help with financial management, just send them to me. I'll be happy to meet with them and help them. So if you need to do that, send me an email and I'll hook you up with somebody. Sign up for the Crown class. We're doing that. That's all. That's 10 weeks this fall about how to manage your money according to principles in the Bible. In a couple months as a church, we're going to do something generous together during the holiday season. Be a part of that. But just make a commitment that over the next 4 months, I'm going to put God to the test. I'm going to try this out and I'm going to put him first and I'm going to reorient and redo my finances according to this perspective. And here's what I'll say to you. If you try it and you get to the end of 4 months and you are not fully satisfied, then you never have to give to God again. And if you get to the end of 4 months and you really try this and you can make a commitment to it and you don't feel like God has started doing something new in your life, God is giving you new abilities to trust him. God is giving you new opportunities to be involved in what he's involved in this world in new and exciting and life-giving ways. If you're not feeling that after you actually try it for 4 months, then don't do it then. Stop giving to God. In fact, you could even stop coming to church in some ways because, I mean, if we can't trust him with our finances and we can't trust him with our money, do we really want to trust him with our souls? With our eternity? I mean, that's, you would think that would be the hard one and the money would be the easy one. But for so many of us, it's easy to accept Jesus and trust him with our souls. But when it comes to our money, we're scared to death. So put God to the test. Give it a try. And together, let's do it as a community. What would that look like if we all gave this a try and we all started trusting God more in this area of our life, and then step back to see what God does among us, in us, and through us as a community of faith. Let me pray, and then we'll close by singing a song together. Lord God, our prayer tonight is that we do want to trust you. I think that's the heart of every single person here. That's my heart. And yet, we know it's hard sometimes, and I can think of even stuff that I've got, bought, stuff that I have, ways that I've spent my money, where I just don't really trust you, and I'm just focused on me and my needs and my wants and my desires first. And so, God, give me the courage, give all of us the courage and the boldness to know that there's grace when we stumble and we fall and we make mistakes. But to also know the life-giving grace of God when we do trust you. God, if there's anyone here tonight who's scared to death of doing this, I pray that you would give them the courage to give it a try. And I pray that over the next 4 or 5 or 6 months, as a community of faith, we would be able to tell stories together of ways we trusted God and where you showed up in huge and amazing ways and did things we never could have dreamed of. We pray all this in your name. Amen.